Must I always provide you with amazing and excellent and thorough information? Welcome to Security Today, brought to you by Sprinter Business Solutions. Sprinter has a passion for technology with the calling card of the cleanest work environments in the low voltage industry. Sprinter IT is a robust leader in the technology sector. They lead in managed services, datacom, and security, so check them out at SprinterIT.com and at Sprinter Datacom on Instagram. I'm your host, the most smart uncle in security, Uncle Bear. That's right, Uncle B-A-E-R underscore on Instagram and Twitter, and at Security Today Podcast on Instagram and at black.picket.fence on Instagram. Check it out. Give me a like and a follow, and don't forget to subscribe to this podcast, and then give your mom a call and tell her you're doing better. Thank you for making it another week to news and highlights. That's right. We're going to have some news and highlights this week, the next week, and the next week, because I had no bid to bank lined up. That's my fault, not yours. I accept the I accept the apology, but you're not apologizing. I'm apologizing. But anyways, give me a like and follow. I hope you're doing well and crushing it this week, whether you're the CSO with a long list of items to complete by 5 o'clock today, or you're the integrator with a longer wire run to complete by the end of the day. I'm glad to be back and serve you for another week of news and highlights. There is not a massive amount to report from the Security Today podcast headquarters. We have two security dojos lined up this week. That's right. We're recording security dojos already. If you don't know what security dojo is, then please go back to the last news and highlights episode, which wasn't last week, but the prior week, where I completely explain it in the intro. And shame on you for not listening. But if you did check that out, also check last week's out, The Room Where It Happens, where we had Chris Wilson come on and deliver a banger. That's right. He talked about his come up, his history, and where he thinks the access control industry is going. And as an all-star playing in the major leagues, this dude knows what is happening, what's going on. Okay, anyways. But the other thing that's on the docket for the Security Today world is revamping the website, letting it display the segments, maybe getting a comment and suggestion card. Because honestly, listen here, I would do all of this research and then just let it fuel my involvement within the industry by myself. But this podcast is for you, the listener. It's exactly why I'm here. Why don't I just learn all this, huh? And then sit on my couch and know everything? No, I want to give it to you. I vividly remember being young in my career, and there wasn't a lick of content that I could turn to that wasn't some organized class that maybe my employer sent me to or put on, which was few and far between, or it wasn't time spent with Tubbs, a 55-year-old leather forever tan, Harley-riding third marriage canker sore of a man who was asked by some low-level manager younger than me who couldn't care less to, quote, show me the ropes. I'm glad I got out, man. Also, that's a true story. Dead ass. Let's talk about what we're going to talk about. Allegion finally sees that their product might be good on an apartment. Agritech is using IoTs. If you know what that means, you're in for a treat. And my fare at the bus station would be something that I class as preposterous. You'll see. But first, we give a shout out. That's right. Every single time on news and highlights, we give a shout out to an Instagram user that is totally crushing it. And this week it is at carkatech.corp. That's carkatech.corp. Carlos is who runs Carkatech, one of the OGs, and he's killing the game right now out in Cali. Anything from shades, lighting, security cams, and more. He's a Tech Knowledge Worldwide member, which means that he's got his head on straight. And I've only ever seen him put in good work. So the point of these shout outs, ladies and gentlemen, is to give you stuff in your feed that encourages you to hashtag be the better tech. And that's exactly what Carkatech's Instagram does. So go give him a like and a follow right now and send him a little sun emoji because, you know, He's in Cali. And that way, he'll know that I sent you. Let's get on to the chit chat. Agriculture technology, known as agritech, is a pivotal force in global development with a particular focus on Europe and beyond. Agritech harnesses various technological avenues, including AI, machine learning, and the Internet of Things, the IoT device, to drive innovation in farming practices. Okay. So the exponential growth of the IoT underscores its significance, with its market value soaring to $544.38 billion in 2022. Experts predict a further surge. How can that happen? Projecting the IoT device and growth of it up to a, is that $2 trillion? Okay. By 2028 at an annual growth rate of 12.57%. Notably, the IoT market in agriculture is also an upward trajectory, set to expand from $11.4 billion in 2021 to $18.1 billion in 2026. Now, agritech, it specifically, I know this isn't an agriculture site, but you got to know what technology is doing over there to know possibly what it's going to do over here. So agritech functions and implements the IoT device in a number of ways. First is sensing capabilities to precision farming. IoT enables precise data analysis for enhancing yields and preempting challenges, crucial for farming efficiency amid food crises. Number two, they improved resource efficiency. IoT facilitates intelligent water management, yield monitoring, energy conservation, and predictive predictive analytics, optimizing resource usage and reducing waste. The third way that they do it is environmental monitoring. Through interconnected devices like sensors and drones, the IoT provides real-time data for advanced analytics, enabling sustainable farming and sustainable farming practices in climate adaptation. Number four, supporting livestock management. So IoT systems actually monitor livestock health. They optimize feeding processes and they enable smart monitoring and intervention, improving the animal welfare and productivity. Well, that's a lie, but anyways, number five is smart irrigation systems. IoT enabled irrigation systems adjust water usage based on soil moisture and weather predictions, conserving water and ensuring optimal crop growth. So despite the challenges like high initial costs and complexities, embracing IoT in things like agriculture offers opportunities for sustainable farming practices, benefiting global food security and environmental conservation. Efforts to make IoT accessible worldwide are crucial for fostering a more sustainable future in not just agriculture, but everything. As the physical, cyber, and technological world collide like planets every single day, we are jettisoned into the future. It is important that we keep a bead on where tech is in other industries. We should know what's around because there's likely something out there that could implement very easily if you only knew it. Or there's likely something out there that you don't know about. And then that one tiny mention from a client that they need this to could turn into your largest payday yet. So please know what's going on. And that's what's going on in agritech. On to the product highlight. Allegion unveils its new and innovative XE360 locks for multi-dwelling residencies. Allegion US is a leading provider. If you don't know, they're also known as Schlage. They introduced the Schlage XE360 series wireless locks, a sophisticated electronic lock portfolio, they say, tailored specifically to meet the dynamic demands of multifamily housing environments. Who knows what that means, but crafted with meticulous attention to detail, the XE360 series redefines convenience and security for property owners, offering a diverse array of finishes and lever styles, which Schlage has always been good at. Do you want brushed nickel or satin nickel, to seamlessly integrate with various architectural designs. Notably, these locks operate in an offline mode. That's crucial. Streamlining access management by The need for manual intervention when updating access credentials. Okay, so you don't need to manually update it anymore. Now, Brian Telehan, Allegion's esteemed director of product management of for commercial electronics, underscores the series' adaptability. You just got to hang with me. You're going to get here. You're going to get to the end of this, and we're going to be better for it. And cost effectiveness in fortifying security and enhancing the overall residential experience in multifamily dwellings. So, recognizing that this burgeoning popularity of mobile access control in apartment complexes is happening, which we will talk about on the next Security Dojo, Allegion underscores that the XE360 series compatibility with the latest mobile credential technologies include MyFair, which we might talk about later, Bluetooth, and NFC mobile, fortified by advanced encryption protocols to safeguard sensitive data and communications. In summation, Allegion's US's XE360 series represents a paradigm shift in multifamily access control. Okay. It is another note that MDU spaces are indeed becoming digital. They're indeed becoming mobile in their locking and securing devices, thereby reshaping the landscape of residential living for the better. So you better get on that train, dog. You can't just know about Agritech. You also got to know what's going on here in our industry. So now you know. You're welcome. On to the meat. I want to talk about the smart card. What is it? What types are there? What are some technologies next to others? Oftentimes, we as the security professional can get lost in the system as a whole, surrounding ourselves with buzzwords like edge device, integration, adaptation, controller, yada, yada, yada. And we forget the intricate details of just how complex the security system can be, while also how important it is to factor in the small details of the system. One of the major components of a security system is a credential. Now, a credential refers to a physical or digital object typically possessed by an individual that grants them permission to access a secured area, system, or resource. Now, I say possessed by, but that's a broad term, as a credential can be one of three things: something that you are, something that you know, or something that you have. That's the PSP coming in. For instance, a fingerprint, a PIN code, or RFID card can all be a credential to a user. I could write like 20 episodes on those things alone, with how complex and broad credentials can truly become. And although I don't have time to write 20 episodes this week, I did have time to help us deep dive for a minute into the wonderful world of card technologies. Now, I debated if I should drill down into this episode, into the minuscule finite details and the sticky undergrowth of the technology when it comes to frequency of a card, or if I should stay broad and talk about an overview of all things credentials, right? Biometric readers and key fobs and the like. Well, there's 100 ways that I could go with this, but I am going to drill down a little bit while still keeping an overview tone. So let me say this first. In dealing with the RFID, that's radio frequency identification card, they come in predominantly two flavors, all right? They either come in 125 kilohertz frequency or they come in 13.56 megahertz frequency. I'm going to talk today about the two major types of 13.56 megahertz card. All you need to know about 125 kilohertz is that it's called Prox, all right? And a Prox card, and it's easy to clone, or in other words, hack. So please, listen to me. Don't use 125 kilohertz. Moving on to the smart card. From a high-level overview, a smart card represents a cutting-edge form of contactless access card composed of composite PVC material and metal, primarily employed by security experts to regulate entry into buildings. It incorporates a microchip for wireless communication with the card reader. And in technical terms, a smart card stands as a refined iteration of conventional Prox cards that we just talked about, with enhanced memory capacity, superior interoperability, and operating at a frequency of 13.56 megahertz to ensure rapid and smooth functionality. Now, these smart cards come really in two different types, okay? You're going to be dealing with one, iClass cards, and two, MyFair cards. My fair lady cards. Just let's start with the iClass, okay? It's little I, all capital class, like iPhone, iClass. HID invented and introduced I-Class smart cards in 2002 with the help of a unique proprietary tech, underscore proprietary. The card revolutionized where credentials were headed, and it boasted that it had better security because data is encrypted and the card uses something called mutual authentication. Every time the card is presented to the reader, before the reader transfers the data wirelessly or over the wire, then it authenticates it. Number two, it has a excellent rewriting capability, which, unlike the Prox card, I-Class cards come with exceptional rewriting capabilities, and that helps with storing and writing data multiple times on a single card. In other words, in the world of cards, oftentimes we as integrators or security professionals are just handed a stack of cards, right? We input the number in relation to a user, and then when the user is done, they turn the card in and we use that number on the next user. But in more enterprise solutions and where we should be headed in the access control environment with smart cards, the cards can be written and rewritten on giving them a unique number every single time. If a user cloned the badge when they had it and then returned it, that's not going to work anymore the next time you use that card. You wouldn't be rehanding out an old hex code, if you will, that could be used against you by a bad actor who's lying in wait. And finally, number three, these smart cards and I-Class specifically has really good storage capacity. So I-Class contactless cards can store a good amount of data in the range of like 2K to 32K bits. That's not bad for a little plastic card with a metal coil inside of it. Now, coming out of the I-Class line, we have a couple of variations of this card. We have the I-Class Classic, the I-Class SE, and the I-Class Seos. And Seos is spelled S-E-O-S product line because we're on an Audible podcast. I-Class Classic cards are everything I've mentioned. They have that no unique identifier, and while they are the least secure I-Class technology, they're a hell of a lot better than Prox, so please be putting them in instead. Classic cards are everything I've mentioned, from the mutual authentication, storage capacity, so on and so on. And then you get the next one, the I-Class SE cards. They're a little bit of a different story, though. These cards offer a versatile solution suitable for organizations operating in diverse physical environments, climates, and infrastructures. Compatible with SIO-enabled credential, I-Class SE cards, they're available in 2K-bit, 16K-bit, and 32K-bit formats, offer flexibility to meet various requirements. Currently, there's 8 different subtypes of the SE card. Compared to the classic I-Class cards, I-Class SE cards boast enhanced security features due to the integration of something called Secure Identity Object, SIO capabilities. Developed by HID Global, SIO encapsulates identity information into a single protected unit. This includes crucial data like card numbers, fingerprint templates, and stored cash values, ensuring that related information remains linked and preventing any mismatches. Moreover, I-Class SE cards can leverage the Trusted Identity Platform, the TIP or the TIP, a security architecture by HID that ensures secure transmission of identity data. TIP creates a secure environment for exchanging and verifying digital identity data. So when a card is TIP enabled, it can securely interact with other devices within the TIP ecosystem, such as readers, but also ensuring the integrity and confidentiality of the identity data that it carries. Then there's I-Class Seos, S-E-O-S, the playground of the I-Class line. HID Global offers 4 distinct variations of its newest line, the I-Class Seos, and these cards are available in 8K or 16K bit formats. Remember, that just means that it can store 8,000 bits of information. Now, Seos comes in several flavors. First up is the I-Class Seos 500X, a high-frequency card that offers dual identity within a single credential. That means that it can actually be used for physical access, like opening doors, and logical access, like controlling or accessing IT resources. It's designed to support multiple applications, and it includes one-time password, OTP, feature to enhance security. This is the baseline for the rest of the types of Seos cards. The next one is the Seos Prox card 510X. It is the card that works in both high-frequency and low-frequency environments, which is That low frequency is 125, high frequency is 13.56. So when massive organizations are migrating over from their Prox card to a more secure technology, like 13.56, they don't have to bite the bullet and replace every single reader or resource that you access at once. The next one is 520X, which is CIOS, iClass, SE, and Prox. So it kind of pushes them all together. You can use that card in any environment. Finally, there's the 522X, which is a dual technology smart card that operates with all the iClass, right? And supports secure access via mobile devices. It manages multiple applications. It has OTP. This roughly sums up your iClass option when it comes to the smart card. So you should note that iClass is proprietary, right? To HID. So you'll see as we explore the next card type that it's maybe more accepting of access control systems as iClass cards work with HID readers. And our next technology can be in a myriad of different readers. So next up on the list after iClass is MyFair, my favorite. MyFair is a contactless card technology that was introduced in 1994. It was primarily used for transport passes, but its technological capabilities quickly made it one of the most popular smart cards for storing data and providing access control. It absolutely blew up in Europe, and it has definitely made its way over to the States. So it is a good card to stand by. All MyFair cards comply with ISO. That's International Standard Organization, ISO 14443A, industry standard requirement, and like other contactless cards, use an internal antenna and chip that reacts once a card is within the magnetic field of the reader. All MyFair cards operate at 13.56 frequency and are made by NXP Semiconductors, which is part of Philips Electronics. Now, MyFair also comes in a handful of flavors, and they also boast enhanced security encryption that is difficult to clone. The different types are, once again, classic, DESFIRE, that's capital D, capital E, capital S, capital F, IRE, ultralight, and plus. Let's dig into each one. MyFair Classic, one of the trailblazers in the industry. Remember 1994. MyFair Classic cards were created for those seeking a multi-use technology card, compliant with ISO and IEC 14443, and available with 1 kilobyte or 4 kilobytes of memory. These cards still offer an excellent entry-level option for ticketing, event entry, and public transport systems. The most popular choice of MyFair Classic card is the MyFair Classic 1K EV1 card. The main target applications for those are, like I said, this is what it started in: public transport payment systems, electric toll collection, event ticketing, loyalty cards, legacy access control systems. That's where you will really see this stuff. Now, the next one up on the list after Classic, the MyFair DESFIRE cards. Best serve those who seek a card that quickly and securely transmits data. Updated MyFair DESFIRE EV2 IC actually encompasses more than 30 different applications. To date, there are more than 10 billion cards and 260 million DESFIRE readers issued, with the most popular DESFIRE cards being the MyFair DESFIRE 4K EV2 cards. MyFair DESFIRE EV2, that stands for Evolution, EV1, Evolution 1, Evolution 2, is the second evolution of the MyFair DESFIRE IC family. It is backwards compatible and delivers a perfect balance of speed, performance, and cost efficiency. DESFIRE EV2 is a great choice for access control cards, public transportation tickets, and loyalty cards. So there's that. But, launched in June 2020, MyFair DESFIRE EV3 is the newest addition to the DESFIRE range and takes the cake when it comes to a secure credential. DESFIRE EV3 offers NFC compatibility, okay? And it has a large focus on mobile credentials. The technology is also used in cards, with the DESFIRE 8K EV3 cards being the most popular. NFC-enabled smartphones and wearables, such as wristbands, are considered to be the future of access control and contactless payments. This is due to the high levels of encryption and ability to protect against, well, what you would call relay hacking attempts. Now, this is my favorite card to spec and my go-to when engineering solutions for clients because let me just expound on it a bit. But first off, EV2 and EV3, as far as I know, they've yet to been cracked, which means that while there might be some workarounds that I have read about on some forums, the card hasn't actually just been cloned or hacked in the wild. They are a true contactless smart card that can transfer data up to 848 bits per second. They have non-volatile memory that has a write endurance of 1 million cycles and data retention for up to 25 years. DesFire EV3 cards use mutual authentication, like I said, according to ISO standards, and AES uses 128-bit keys. Hardware and software, they hold an EAL5 Plus standard, which if you know, you know. If you don't waste your brain space. All that to say, with backwards compatibility through EV2 and EV1, this card can do anything it wants, and you don't have to worry that Karen let some struts coffee at the cafe flipper her prox card and now's standing at your data rack, okay? That was Dutch for like street rat. Okay. My Fair Ultralight cards are the third one. They're a card option with significantly less memory than the Classic and DesFire. Ultralight cards are designed as low cost, low security cards that can be produced quickly and efficiently. That said, Ultralight cards include an anti-counterfeit production system that minimizes the risk of card cloning. Their reduced cost makes them perfect for low-risk contactless solutions. And one of the most popular Ultralight cards is the Ultralight EV1. So, MyFair Plus cards is the last one. They've been developed to bring benchmark security to all mainstream contactless card applications. Okay, note that. A key benefit to the Plus is that it is only mainstream IC compatible, which offers an upgrade path for existing infrastructure and services. And there are several versions of the MyFair Plus. But these are your two major players when it comes to the smart card game. You should only be quoting smart cards at this point in access controls history. Okay? I know. Proxies are cheaper, right? They're not going to be taken over. And it gets difficult because using a secure card is implementing on the back foot, right? You have to understand that your card is secure when talking to the reader, but the communication protocol from the reader to the controller is another huge vulnerability. Now, all of this may be only mattered to enterprise and government level securities in the past, but we're living in an age where the understanding of radio frequency and the hobby of RF hacking is growing in interest. Now, between you and me, that is actually an excellent thing. Don't knock it till you try it. Ugh. I fought so hard there not to say bitch. Okay, from a cultural standpoint, the interest in technology and the fact that technology is growing, this is a good thing. It's making sure that as we go into the future, the youth and the people who are growing technology don't just see technology as a marketing degree from Michigan, right? It's something that we want our youth to be focusing on because this is shaping the world that we're in right now. We don't want to pay the price, though, for going to for growing the interest of RF hobbies, right? Because that can cause bad things. So you actually need to grow, too. It's not their fault. It's not a them problem. It's a you problem, sir. You're the fucking security professional. Now, I've only touched the tip of the iceberg. And honestly, I just touched one of the tips of the iceberg. Because when it comes to credentialing within access control, it's a deep rabbit hole, man. And it takes a lot to kind of wrap your brain around it. But with that, you need to be growing and you need to like be getting out there and understanding the thing. So I tried to give a high level overview, but also like a kind of a detailed thing. Like you're going to have to Google some words after this if you didn't know about it. But if you did know about it, it's like, oh, yeah, I should probably not be selling Prox anymore. But that's all I have to say. So get ridding. Okay, love you. Bye-bye. That's it for security today. Remember that this podcast is brought to you by Sprinter Business Solutions. At Sprinter Datacom on Instagram, please do reach out to them. They might be hiring. Or if you have a project in line, you might get to work with yours truly. So what are you doing sitting there? Pick up the phone. Also, DM me at UncleBAER_ with your thoughts, your stories, your resources. If you tried any of the projects that I mentioned, like that brand new Allegion XE 360 or whatever. Yeah, let me know, man. I want to see pictures. I want to know how it went. I want to know if you're implementing it well or if it's like really hard and not fun to implement. This podcast is driven by the interactions with fantastic technicians on Instagram. So, and fantastic CSOs on LinkedIn. That's pretty much the two spots that those two hang. And you know that I'm hooking you up with resources. So if you didn't know, Security Today podcast has an educational arm called Black Picket Fence. That's at black.picket.fence on Instagram or blackpicketfenceonline.com. And I provide courses. You can know how to become a master of access control wiring, wiring the circuit within just like 3.5-4 hours. Boom, you got it. But I'm hooking you up with that. Also follow at Tech Knowledge Worldwide. That's TEKNOWLEDGEWW on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, as they are the community that is changing the technology sector on the ground level, a whole new genre of philanthropy. So get in now and reap the crown later, suckers. And we'll see you next week on Security Today.